How have you not seen this?
And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today I am joined by Peter Brick.
Hey, how's it going?
And Alex Green.
Hey, everybody.
And we just finished watching Iron Man 2, our third episode in our coverage of the Marvel Cinematic Universe series, all leading up to this month's Struck Nerd, the Pop Culture Mixtape, the Avengers Assemble Edition, because we got a new Avengers movie coming out next month, and that's pretty fucking dope. Iron Man 2, as mentioned, the third movie in the film. Second, glimpse of Iron Man. We get a double down on doses of Iron Man before we get Thor or Captain America. Giant mad about the first movie made me love Iron Man more than I ever had before, and a lot of that's on Robert Downey Jr. for just being the perfect person to play Tony Stark.
Oh, for sure.
Just the casting on these movies, and of course we'll get into them more as we continue through these with Alex, who from here on out will be joining us for every episode because he has only seen the first two Marvel movies. Somehow.
That's right,
and we'll find out why later.
They'll discover a theme.
Yeah. All right. A theme. So this is the second Iron Man film. Also notable for further developing the S.H.I.E.L.D., setting up that organization, as well as the introduction of Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson, who becomes a major player in the films from here on out. And that's pretty much the biggest thing, in addition to also incorporating Tony Stark's self-destructive tendencies, his alcoholism, which is a huge factor, especially earlier in the comics. And it's nice. I think that's part of why I grew to relate to him a little bit more in this one, because I'm familiar with self-destructive tendencies,
Oh, yeah.
So I can certainly empathize with Tony Stark. I hate him still because he's rich, but I can understand not having any respect for yourself. this movie also, like, out of the Marvel films, I feel like this one is more maligned than some of the other ones, which is highly unfortunate. And this is actually, so it's got a 73% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And, like, none of these movies are winning Oscars, obviously, because the Academy is archaic and stupid, but that's neither here nor there. But I feel like when I talk to people about the MCU movies, Iron Man 2 is very low on the list. And I haven't seen this since I saw it in the theater when it came out. This is only my second viewing of the film. Because I've always meant to go back and watch it, and I just never got around to it. So I was like, maybe it is as bad as everyone says it is. Upon watching it again with you guys, with it fresh in my mind, No, I completely fucking disagree with that.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that a little bit more as we continue. So, Peter, how have you not seen this?
Well, you just mentioned it. I started watching it, and then it was a while ago, and I just couldn't get into it for some reason. I don't know if it's just I was hanging out with people and it was too loud or what.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard people talking about Iron Man 2, and they said they didn't like it as much.
Hmm.
So that kind of dampened my motivation to see it.
Okay.
So it was just one of those things like, I'll see it sometime. And then I saw it tonight.
Right. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Alex, same question. How have you not seen this?
Now, unlike the X-Men films, where I haven't seen them because I'm just a total horrible person, and just... Well, maybe one day we'll touch on that. But this is one of those movies where, like, I was like, all right, it's pretty much the same as Peter, and the reason that you haven't watched it again is, like, I saw it come out, and I was like, oh, I should see that. I like the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll watch it. And then, some time went by, and, I'm other movies started coming out. I was like, well, I got to see that one first. And then I never went back to it. And no one ever called me not a procrastinator. So.
Fair enough. Okay.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. We know Peter likes it. What did you think?
Oh, it was really good. And then, like you said, I don't know why. Well, I know exactly why people don't like it as much. It's not as action-packed. It's not as, running around punching stuff, blowing
things up.
It's a
little more character-driven this time.
Yeah, it's a lot more character-driven. There's a lot of feelings involved.
Oh, yeah.
People don't really... you know, people don't really like watching someone deal with their own mortality.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, a general thing, but... You know, I liked it. I really enjoyed getting in touch with that character that we, you know, we saw his origin story in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw, you know, his, at the beginning of this one, you saw him just being a total, you know, megalomaniac, and then...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's, you know...
That's a great introduction to this movie, too. I forgot how effectively that introduction paints Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
For as Tony Stark is,
yeah.
And this movie, the characterizations across the board, I think, are really good. And again, just Robert Downey Jr., just like the perfect choice for this fucking character.
Oh yeah,
and he does a very good job of just like it's a fairly nuanced performance, I would say. Like it's definitely like broad strokes to a point, but when he goes from being narcissistic and then he goes to those moments of like being pained,
mm-hmm.
like. You're on his side. Like, you're sympathetic to him. Whereas, like, if another character was... Say, Draco Malfoy in the
mm-hmm.
Harry Potter films. Prior to, like, the final films
right.
in that series. Like, all the films prior to him, you're like, no, this guy's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, and you never, like, stop to think about, like, why he is the way he is. You're just like,
mm-hmm.
no, this character is a prick, but, like... This one, like, we find out, like, his relationship with his father, like,
mm-hmm.
we get some of that.
Yeah.
We have, like, the added fact that, like, he knows he's dying and
mm-hmm.
he's trying to leave something important behind in the face of that.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's the same kind of thing as, like, how in the Batman comics and the movies, Bruce Wayne is viewed as, like, this kind of ineffectual coward. Because he can't, like, be like, hey, I'm Batman. I do a really great thing for the
yeah.
world.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I think it's especially interesting, too, when you throw in, like, the other relationships in his life, where there's the Pepper Potts,
mm-hmm.
and there's the, there's Rhodey,
mm-hmm.
and he's, like, he's struggling with, but his actions are causing them to be further away from him, but at the same time... He's too proud to tell them exactly why he's being super self-destructive, and you know, it sort of works itself out too. Especially, there's an element too of like him trying to the Don Quixote fight the impossible fight, because
uh-huh.
the whole there's no known element that can replace that, and the, you know, he's trying to figure something out, but there's just nothing there.
That also may be the smartest reference we've ever had on this podcast.
that was good.
Don Quixote.
Don Quixote.
Yeah.
I don't know where I thought that. This is the last episode, everyone. We're done. Cutting it off
right.
here.
Shut it down.
I want people to think we're respectable academics of some kind. So
no, yeah. I only saw Don Quixote on Wishbone.
That's all you need.
Yeah,
that's like the public school version of Don Quixote. So
yeah. It is, isn't it?
I guess so. Some of the other things to talk about in this movie, of course, we could sit here and talk all day about how great Robert Downey Jr. is. Most noticeably, the switch to Don Cheadle from Terrence Howard in the first Iron Man film. Due to whatever contract disputes, whatever fucking reason it was. I like Terrence Howard. I think he's a very good actor. I think Don Cheadle is a better fit for this role.
I would agree with that, yeah.
He seems... Like, Terrence Howard, like I said, great actor. He always seems, like, very rigid
mm-hmm.
in his performances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's very tense, and Don Cheadle, like, just has... I don't know, there's a much more relaxed feeling about him. Like, he seems a little more comfortable in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And with certain Terrence Howard roles, like, that absolutely works. But for the character of Rhodey, like, it definitely... It feels rough. Like, it feels out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And then Don Cheadle just comes in and just fucking knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I like him a lot in Iron Man 3, too. He's just...
Cheadle's great in that.
Like, personality fits into the... Like, you can just see him fitting into that role very well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it absolutely... It works better.
No.
Which, again, bummer because Terrence Howard's a great actor, but just just not the best fit for that character. So, you know, I mean, and as long as Marvel is cool shaking stuff up like that, I'm like, we can change characters. It's alright. that's totally fine. No big deal. Cause, and of course, as Alex is going to see, they very notably do that with the Hulk, which we'll get to here in a couple episodes. So I'm definitely excited to see your takeaway on comparing those two characters. The rest of the cast, Sam Rockwell in a very, like, at first, like, it's a very kind of a sympathetic character with Justin Hammer, because he very much has an inferiority complex, mm-hmm. where, like, he's mm-hmm. trying to measure up to Tony Stark, who's just this fucking wunderkind
mm-hmm.
of a billionaire scientist, inventor, like, just very smart person. And then as it gets close to the end of the movie, you're just like, nah, like, Justin Hammer's kind of an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, I love that Sam Rockwell has that Tony Stark built this in a cave moment.
Oh, yeah.
When he's yelling at Ivan Vanko, who plays Whiplash, who is Whiplash, played by Mickey Rourke. God, what? I can't remember what he's... He literally says how he feels. which is so insane to me. He's like, I took your things. How does that make you feel? I feel bad. I was like, alright, man. And anytime I see that, all I can think of is that episode of Futurama with the robot devil, where he's criticizing Fry's opera. It's like, you can't just have your characters say how they feel. It makes me feel angry. There's very much that kind of moment, too. And he's just, and he's so over the top. And then, like right after that, he looks at him after Vanko says something in Russian. He's like, I don't know if you noticed, I don't speak Russian. he looks like a Kermit the Frog. Like, just like arms flail and just like, it's so over the top. And then he reins it back in for the last couple scenes that he's in. And he's very, very straight, like very low, quiet, kind of menacing when he's taken away by the cops.
Mm-hmm.
But just that one scene where he takes everything away from Ivan Vanko, just, just flip it out.
Take his shoes, take his pillow, take his bird. I've taken everything you own.
Yeah. Literally the shoes off your feet, the bird on your hand.
He's such an easy person to both love and hate. Which is why he was such a good person for that. Because, like, you want to feel sympathetic for him at the beginning when you feel like he's just some dummy.
Uh-huh.
But then he just turns on that annoying little fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, I love too. Like, it's this weird quirk. The Iron Man movies have all taken actors who are more known for like kind of indie roles, or like less mainstream fare for the most part. Who are very charismatic, very gifted actors. Like, Jeff Bridges is in the first one, Sam Rockwell in this one, and then Guy Pearce in the third one.
Oh, I like
him. And he's great. So it's just a really, really bizarre thing that, like, there's kind of, like, a theme with, like, the villains in the Iron Man films. And I think that's kind of neat.
I think that's pretty standard for an Iron Man foil, is you gotta have that charismatic nature
match
with Tony Stark's charismatic nature.
So, yeah, somebody who's essentially like a broken version of Tony Stark. Because Obadiah Stane is pretty much Tony Stark, but not as intelligent and very consumed by power. And then Justin Hammer is the same thing, but very consumed. Essentially just in his quest for his approval, just like acceptance, because like throughout, like, and during the Senate hearing, he's absolutely humiliated when Stark like hacks into the hammer weapons testing and sees like nothing he's putting together. He's like, oh yeah, these underdeveloped companies are 5-10 years away from the Iron Man armor minimum. Hammer industry is like 20 years, not even close. And then Guy Pearce, I'll say that when we get to Iron Man 3, but Guy Pearce very much continues in that vein. So I think they do a really good job of doing that throughout the Iron Man films.
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
As Whiplash. Technically, in this, a mashup of Whiplash and a character called Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah.
Whiplash, essentially, they pull the costume and the weapon from Crimson Dynamo. I think more influences the backstory of the character.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting how they sort of mirrored his backstory and the mid-story for Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
With the original backstory for Iron Man, where he's, you know, building something in a cave, he built it in Siberia in his fucking living room.
Yeah.
And then when he's, you know, in the lab working for Hammer, you know, he's pretending that he's, you know, building something else, and all of a sudden, bam, he's got this, you know, big old
except
thing.
He's got arc whips again.
Yeah.
Except Mickey Rourke isn't listening to the Suicidal Tendencies or the Clash.
That's true.
What would he be listening to?
Oh, man.
Like a Russian,
the
like...
dull drone of his own brain.
Yeah. Or Soviet, men's choir.
Kids bop, except it's just Putin singing.
Putin bop.
Da.
Da, da, Roma. What do you want about the romance? Putin Gaga, everybody. Hey, gang. Putin on the Ritz.
Oh,
I probably, there's no way I'm the first person to have thought of that, which is unfortunate, because it's a pretty good bit.
It's a good bit. Maybe, I don't know, I'm thinking about Putin in a meat dress.
Alex,
regular meat dress.
When I mentioned Mickey Rourke, you shook your head.
Oh, that was a shake of my head. Oh, man, Mickey Rourke. He's so good.
Okay. A head shake of respect.
Yeah, it's just like you can't get any better than that guy for that.
Mickey Rourke is very good. I think his character has the crime of being the most underdeveloped.
Oh, yeah, well.
And I think that's one of the only big criticisms I can level with this movie. And I think that's one of the issues that people have when they talked about this movie and not caring for it, was because like it's the Batman Returns thing where like they double down on the villains and then like that just builds, but it works. Like it definitely, I don't think that Vanko gets the attention that character deserves. Mm-hmm. and also too, like initially it's kind of painted in a sympathetic light. But then it's like, oh no, his father was greedy, so Howard Stark got him deported. And then he was selling plutonium to terrorists. They're like, okay, I don't feel bad for this guy.
I'm sure Ivan didn't know that, and no one ever told him.
That he was selling plutonium to terrorists? No,
the other part, where he had
about his
deported
dad being greedy.
For greed, not for
Well, that pretty
vengeance
much,
or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that probably might not have, because they mentioned that his father's, Anton Vanko,
mm-hmm.
like, spent the next 20 years, like, in a vodka-fueled rage and everything. It's like, might potentially have been a history of abuse, but then, like, by the end of it, it's like, his sense of duty and honor or whatever outweighs being beaten as a kid, I guess. So it's, like, I definitely like, and I know we talked about this when we did the first Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
Was like having villains who are sympathetic, and I mentioned, like, and we'll get into it, like Loki is maybe one of the only villains in the Marvel films, I think, that has been painted as a sympathetic villain for the most part, and even then, like, all it takes is one scene for him to like smash that notion you have, and you're like, oh no, this guy is evil just right to his core despite whatever happened to him before. And the majority of the villains in the Marvel movies are that way, which, I mean, again, it's a comic book movie too, so like you can't expect nuance necessarily, because it's very physically fit people with goofy powers and silly costumes fighting.
Yeah.
So you can't expect like a like Godfather level of depth with characters or anything like that.
I thought there was a very interesting moment for him very early on, right after, like when he's in the prison cell with, or in the interrogation room with Tony. And it was sort of a Joker moment, if you will, where he says, if you make God bleed, people will stop bleeding.
Yeah. And that was in the, like, the teaser trailers when this came out. Like, was that, like, those couple of lines that he had in the prison cell, I was like, oh, man, that is so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Like, and then in the movie, like, it kind of gets glossed over, like, in everything.
It's like but almost said in passing. Like, hey, what's up? What if you can have Hobbly? Like, what? I don't know. I'll see you later.
Cut God, everyone will see him bleed, and the sharks will begin to circle.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. All right, see ya.
All right, I'm going to go back home and drink, and probably die in the next week or so, I guess.
At least I gotta do the Autobahn.
Yeah. But yeah, that... God, that's such a badass fucking line. Like, just that exchange is so good.
Yeah. I wish there were more like those, because... like you were saying, the character was underdeveloped. And I love those kind of, hero interacting with the villain, like, on that level.
Yeah.
Like, you see that a lot in, like, movies like The Dark Knight or Star Wars or anything like that. And it's, I wanted more.
They sort of fell into the trap that a lot of the earlier Batman movies fall into, where they have two villains, so they have to divide up how well they flesh out either one.
Yeah.
You gotta pick one to do more, who that one's actually about, but you know, the other one falls off. Whereas in like The Dark Knight, they really hammer in the Joker. Because
he's the primary.
Yeah. He's the primary. They do a really good job of that. And also in the first Iron Man, Obadiah Stane is pretty well developed. Not super well developed, but he's the
villain. You get a little bit more sense, like, for his motive. Like, it's a little more believable. Like, you get a little more... And again, like, not necessarily a sympathetic character, but you definitely... You understand everything that shaped him into what he is now.
He's very human.
Yeah, just greedy and fallible.
Oh.
Yeah. And even at the end of Iron Man 1, he even says, like, hey, I don't have a taste for this thing, but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Right before he gets blown to bits.
Bam! Arc reactor. Suck it, Obi. Hey, see if Tony Stark built that in a cave. I also like, too, because that's... Iron Man only has two interactions directly with... well, technically three.
Mm-hmm.
With Whiplash, because there's the fight on the Monaco track. Then when he sees him in prison, and then I guess the phone call. So there's a little bit more, but like in terms of like legit like face to face like confrontations, it's pretty minimal. And then he's only in two scenes with Justin Hammer. One is the Senate hearing in the very beginning, and then again at Monaco when he runs into him in the restaurant, and Hammer's trying to leech onto him, and then
trying
like,
to bang
he,
the same
he very
he banged.
Yeah, and then he very briefly has that exchange at the Stark Expo where he's like, hey, what the fuck? And then it's like, oh, nope, these robots are coming to life, and my best friend's going to try to kill me with my own suit that he's a prisoner in.
Hooray!
Oh, boy. Mondays.
How much stuff can one man go through?
It's endless, apparently. It only gets worse for Tony Stark.
Yesterday I invented a new element.
Yeah. Iron Man 3. And the first Avengers. He'll probably just get taken out in the next one.
Yeah. It's like Civil War is like, oh yeah, Cap is going to decapitate him with his shield.
I feel like we're just going to call it square.
Gwyneth Paltrow again returning as Pepper Potts. Wonderful. And, like, Gwyneth Paltrow was one of those people who, like, their personality in real life kind of irritates the shit out of me.
Who names their kid Apple?
Well, not even that. It's the stuff lately with, God, what is it, Goop?
Goop?
The website. There's a
website called Goop?
I'll look it up while we're talking. It's something.
Speaking of looking it up while we're talking, I did find
Putin on the Ritz. It's a picture of Vladimir Putin.
I typed Putin on and it was it auto-completed to the Ritz.
Holy shit. No, I was absolutely right. Goop.com. A weekly lifestyle publication curated by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Goop.
What an obnoxious fucking way to say you have a blog. That is the worst.
Wait, let's go to it. Can we go to it? Because we haven't. No.
Yeah.
Goop
didn't think so.
Oh, we have to sign up though. No. Oh no, we're here. We're on it.
Yeah.
We're a little off track, but you know what? That's okay.
Well, she it came up in the search. She had the Gwen is steaming her vagina. There was that whole thing.
Is that a thing? Like,
that's a thing. That's a legit thing she wrote about. There was a lot of people was like, are you fucking batshit insane? And the answer is obviously yes. it kills me because this whole thing is crazier to me than Tom Cruise being all about Scientology and jumping on a couch.
Yeah, I've jumped on a couch.
Yeah, we've all jumped on a couch.
I have not.
Man.
Make your noodle lunches in mason jars.
I have not steamed my genitals.
But yeah, there was this whole thing written about it. So like, I have a hard time separating that. But she is very good as Pepper Potts in these movies.
Yeah, good actress.
She's a solid actress, lunatic in real life apparently.
From what we can tell.
Or she is pulling some impressive Andy Kaufman. Which I certainly would want to be the case.
Oh, yeah.
But I sadly don't think it is. We get Scarlett Johansson introduced to us as Natalie Rushman, of course, obviously, and Natasha Romanoff, the Black Widow. And she's wonderful. She's a really solid casting choice for that character. She's great in the Marvel films after this. You want to keep your fingers crossed for a Black Widow movie, which probably won't happen because Marvel's a sausage fest, but she's very good. And over the course of these movies, as we go through them, you'll see how integral to the story she becomes, what a self-sustaining character she is. Very capable, very talented, very empowered, just a solid character.
Yeah.
And there's... I saw something earlier today. Because I was on Tumblr, because fuck me. somebody's just like, oh, well, an empowered female doesn't work if, listing all these things. The word problematic came up a number of times. I was like, fuck off. And then, somebody, just added in the comments, so basically you're talking about Black Widow. I was like, look, it's not perfect. All right? But they're trying. And you know what? That's, again... Fuck you, because you don't have a Wonder Woman movie still.
Yeah.
So why don't you go lobby your complaints at DC? Because Marvel has at least given us Black Widow,
and now Lady Thor.
Lady Thor in the comics.
Are they going to make a Lady Thor movie?
We'll see.
That would probably be a ways off, but
yeah,
there's
a movie in between there where they have to get rid of the male Thor.
Does he die, or does he just pass as male?
He becomes unworthy.
He passes on Mjolnir.
What does he do?
I don't know.
I've only seen concept art.
Who's to say, man?
I don't know.
Maybe he fucks the frost giant. I don't know.
Oh!
Who knows?
I don't know what those
Asgardians get into. I think she's really good. And I definitely, I certainly hope to see her. Although she's a very big part of Winter Soldier, the second Captain America movie, too.
Yeah.
She certainly deserves her own movie.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they just keep bringing her into the other movies, because at this point she's had almost she's the character with I think she's tied with almost everyone else for the most number of appearances in movies, because she's in Iron Man 2,
mm-hmm.
She's in Winter Soldier, she's in Avengers. So, she's, the only people who have more appearances is Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because he's got 3 movies and Avengers and his cameo at the end of Incredible Hulk.
That's true.
So, I think that's something.
Yeah.
I'd go see a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's fucking badass. And like, and again, like all these other characters, like with the Netflix series, like Luke Cage is getting one, Daredevil, because it's not a first and last name. Why the fuck would I say Daredevil?
Daredevil. It's only inflection.
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Esquire.
Mr. Devil.
Mr. Devil. Blind
Daredevil and Iron Man.
Blind lawyer from Hell's Kitchen whose girlfriends love to punch bags to evanescence.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Hawkeye. The Age of Ultron. Ultron Hubbard.
The Avengers.
Ant-Man. I don't know, that doesn't work.
Ant-Man. No, that's pretty good.
Ant-Man.
That's pretty good.
Black Widow.
Black Widow.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, worked them inflections.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, there we go. See, I'll learn it someday.
There you go. Now that Star Lord.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Rocket Raccoon.
Groot.
I like that you say it the way a wolf would say it. Oh man. Some of the other things to hit on. The Iron Man movies I love because I think there's also a really solid marriage of like solid character moments and action. But also, Iron Man, easily the funniest of the Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Hands down.
God, the fucking party scene. Like, it's so much fun.
I think that was one of the parts I'd seen previously.
Yeah, and God, it's so, like, from him DJing in the soup, and then just, like, slamming alcohol in the soup, and then...
Peeing in the soup.
Peeing in the soup. And then, of course, my favorite, the clay pigeon shooting with his repulsor blast.
There's glass going everywhere. Party!
I also like when he tried to justify peeing. He's got a filtration system.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Pepper gets angry at him and is like, no. This is why it's okay that I did this thing that frat boys and babies do. And then, of course, I think the best moment of that was when the girl brings out the watermelon and is like, oh, she wants the Gallagher.
I accidentally preempted that
one. Yeah, you did. You called it. It's like, oh, man, is Tony Stark cribbing from Alex Green's notebook?
Oh, that's still a strange loop.
Yeah, it's... I thought it was weird when Tony Stark first meets... Natasha Romanoff and says, "You got a cool mouth." It's like, I've heard this before. This sounds like a pretty hot Alex Green bit.
Yeah, it's
your teeth
good.
Fit in there and everything.
God, oh man, when she beats the shit out of Happy Hogan.
Oh man.
So John Favreau, too. Like, I forgot, like, how small his role is in the first one. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't even think he has a single line of dialogue in the first one. This movie, he beefs up a little bit more, and also in Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm. What else is he in?
John Favreau?
Like, as an actor.
He's in Swingers.
Is he in I Love You Man?
Favreau? No.
There's
no,
a okay. food cart, a chef or something, food cart. He's like making a Mexican like street meat car. He's running that. It just came out. Or
Chef.
Yeah, chef.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
God, he's been in so much. Oh, The Replacements? The football movie starring Keanu Reeves in his second appearance as a quarterback from a former OSU quarterback.
All right, Dan Loper.
Hey, man, Dan, it's, look.
It's true.
It is, and I know that because of Dan. That's his fault. So.
Johnny Utah
and Shane Falco. Yeah. Which sounds like just such an obvious superhero secret identity name. But Favreau's been just a shit ton of stuff. All kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I like, too, we get a little bit more insight into S.H.I.E.L.D. this time around.
He is an I Love You Man.
Is he?
He's the husband of, like, Paul Rudd's girlfriend, wife's best friend.
Oh, okay.
He's like her husband, and he's like mad about everything. He doesn't want. He holds the poker game. He's like, I want that guy over here. I don't know that guy.
Oh yeah.
Pukes right. All over his table. Good job, Paul Rudd.
Oh, I remember that part. That was fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. All right, John Favreau. Also, I love you, man. Fam. There you go. Bam. Count it. One of my favorite shots in the movie is after the aftermath of the party scene. That cut to Tony Stark sitting in the Iron Man suit, sans helmet, just eating donuts inside of the gigantic donuts at the donut shop. then just seeing Nick Fury walk up, just going, "Sir, I need you to get out of that donut." one of my favorite things that I bought in the last year, I actually bought it when I went to see Iron Man 3. Midtown Comics had a booth set up on opening night, and one of their guys was like an artist, and he just had like these little, the back of his business cards he'd just done ink sketches on, and one of them was Tony Stark in the Iron Man suit, but, like, without the helmet, just like wearing sunglasses, like, and pulling him down looking cool. And I was like, I want this hanging in my room somewhere. So it's just Iron Man is so fucking cool.
Yeah,
swag.
Yeah. Fucking Bruce Wayne wishes he was like that.
Yeah.
Instead, Bruce Wayne's all, my parents are dead. Like, hey, man, so are Tony Stark, but he's not being a fucking crabby about it. He's fucking getting buried to the hilt and fucking reporters.
Oh.
Fucking driving in fucking Grand Prix races, you fucking coward, Batman. Oh, my parents are dead. One of my wards died, and it was my fault one of the times. The second time, it wasn't my fault. It was Leslie Tompkins' fault. But I'm going to go hang out in my cave. Hey, you know what Tony Stark did in a cave? Built a fucking suit from scraps.
Yeah.
What'd Batman do? Put a fucking giant T-Rex and a giant coin in there.
That's pretty impressive. That thing did not fit in there.
That is a big coin.
That is a enormous coin.
It would have fit through the thing they drive the Batman.
I do find it amazing that Batman lives in the cave where the things that he's most scared of live.
That's why he's so angry all the time.
It is.
Yeah.
He's mad when he got locked out of there.
Tony Stark lives with the thing that he fears the most, himself.
That's true.
So,
that is very true.
Hey, Batman, call me when your angst is on Tony Stark's level, you fucking pussy.
Call me when you can let loose and end up in a giant donut.
Yeah, bro. Call me when you're hanging out in Gotham during the day ever.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Batman. I can't wear sunglasses. It's against my dark brooding persona.
Throwing a house party and batteranging watermelons.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. I thought of Batman Begins during the party scene. Because in Batman Begins, Rachel Bull shows up. And then Bruce Wayne has to yell at all his friends to get out there. I was like, Tony Stark did it better.
I don't know. Bruce Wayne did it more elegantly.
I mean, elegantly, yeah. But he wasn't throwing batarangs at clay pigeons without looking.
That's true.
He also wasn't plastered.
And he didn't fight his best friend with either comparable training or equipment. So,
Yeah, all right. Well, I can see that.
I'm just saying, Tony Stark, it took him and his best friend shooting each other with repulsor blast and essentially causing a very small scale explosion feet away from them. Batman got taken out by a log and couldn't get out of there until Michael Caine called him a pussy. What's the point of all those push-ups if you can't lift a bloody log?
You fucking coward.
I don't know why I'm suddenly so.
I don't
know. I like Batman.
Thinking both me and Alex are like, damn, this is getting
dark. I like
dark.
The Batman. I like the Batman movies and the comics. I still sleep under a Batman blanket every night. I'm getting an Iron Man blanket. Batman's out.
How you been lately, Dustin?
I think we can tell what Dustin's mood's like. Is he more Tony Stark or more Bruce Wayne?
Tearing his heroes down.
Oh, man.
Is Dustin hiding out in his room, or is Dustin going out and getting blasted all the time? Which one is it?
It's Dustin building a new life in a cave.
It's a good basement you have here. I'm making it work.
Oh, man.
There's space the under the stairs for a fort.
The Cyrus car bomb's okay. It's not as good as he made them. Dustin Meadows made this in a cave! From Guinness, Jameson, and Bailey's. Well, I mean, yeah, those are the essential ingredients. That's what an Irish car bomb calls for.
Oh, gosh.
But
he procured those things from scraps.
Yeah. I feel like I'm probably going to go back to Obadiah Stane slide in every single episode we do for Marvel movies. It's cut. I think I want a painting of him just pushing into that scientist's chest with just a word bubble. Just, Tony Stark built this in a cave!
Alright, it's a new meme. We just invented, Dustin Meadows just invented a new meme.
I now want the end of Big Lebowski to be Walter pouring the ashes out, being like, I'm sorry, dude. This is all they had. Tony Stark built that in a cave!
Oh, scraps.
Oh, man. Is there anything else we wanted to hit on with Iron Man 2 before we wrapped up? Like, I feel like we talk about performances a lot, but not much else.
I don't, you know, I like the weapons. With all the cool weapons.
Yeah.
I always liked War Machine, but I thought his weapons were much less cool than Iron Man's. And that's because Tony Stark didn't build them.
Yeah, the third one, I feel like they kind of get nerfed down a bit.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, it almost looks like the Predator's shoulder cannon.
in terms of size.
But now he's got, like a full-on, like, minigun just, like, strapped to his back.
Yeah.
This one. It's like, oh,
and some of the older comics, too, he's got, like, just, like, it's like a huge, like that comically large...
The quad rocket launcher?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you need that.
Yeah.
He got four shots.
Yeah.
That's a little impractical.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, I forgot how funny the fucking Bunker Buster missile
hammer
just fires it and it's like pink. So it was the equivalent of Bruce Banner not being able to get too excited when Liv Tyler tried to seal the deal with him in The Incredible Hulk. It's like performance issues.
Either that or when Tim Roth was just like, is that all you got? And then gets kicked into
the chair. Just gets rabbit kicked across the floor. I forgot how great that final action sequence is, too.
Oh, that's pretty good.
When Rhodey's suit finally gets rebooted. And, God, man, that was, like, seeing that trailer for the first time, was like, that trailer ended with, like, that panning shot of War Machine and Iron Man standing by each other and like just looking around, like assessing the scene, and then their mask coming down, and that was like the end of the trailer. I was like, oh my fucking god, I'm so excited. Like that. People can say what they fucking want about Marvel and about these movies, but like those trailers do their job. They get you excited, and they leave you with like some really cool image. Like, and every single trailer has, like, for these movies, has had that. Like, even the new Avengers trailer, like, there's so many, but, like, especially, like, that shot where it's, like, them driving through the forest, and then all of them just, like, leaping across the screen.
Oh, yeah.
That's just so perfectly encapsulates, like, what a comic book movie should be.
Yeah.
Like, and that's such, and you see it, and it's like, oh my god, like, I am fucking at half-mast already for this movie.
People who do those trailers have, like, a really nice luxury where the stories aren't 100% unknown.
If
they give a little bit away, they're not going to be ruining anybody's day.
Yeah.
So they have a little bit of freedom with what they can show in terms of like cool stuff. But they, you know, they still do a good job of keeping it so that you are surprised by some things in there.
Yeah.
When you actually do see the film.
Certainly. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we wrap it up?
I don't know.
I think I'm good.
Cool.
That one was a good idea.
Our favorite moments. Sorry, Peter?
I liked the... I mean, there's a ton of stuff in there. I really liked the Senate hearing.
Oh, God. Yeah. They didn't even talk about Gary Shandling.
Oh, yeah.
As Senator Stearns. Oh, my God.
It was just really good, because you see those in, like, real life on TV, and they're just, like, the most tense things.
Yeah.
And, like, whoever's getting grilled, it's just like, I don't know. Like, and they're just getting served, and then, like, Tony Stark is just...
Who just drove all the way down.
Yeah. He's just
like,
he's probably
just was slamming Red Bull, like, before the hearing started.
He's just straight clowning everybody.
Oh, my God. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucking amazing scene. And Gary Shandling, too. God. Oh, man. Like, what a perfect fucking choice for that character.
Yeah.
Like, somebody, like, you see, is like, oh, that's kind of funny. But then, like, but he also, like... he brings a gravity to that scene too, like that. Like, there's definitely. I feel like there's certain act. Like, if you put a Gilbert Gottfried on the screen, you'd be like, "All right, I'm not taking this scene seriously." But Gary Shandling, like, despite being associated primarily with, like, something like Larry Sanders' Show,
mm-hmm.
like being known as a very comedic actor,
mm-hmm.
Like he does a really good job. And it never takes you out of the scene. You're just like, it's Larry Sanders. I can't take you. He's like, oh, man, no, this is Larry Sanders. And, like, he's really fucking, like, selling me right now that, like, he's angry about not having Iron Man tech for the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
Cool. Alex, favorite moment?
Ooh, man. Gotta be when he uses the super spinny laser.
Yeah.
He kills them all, and then the guy goes,
man.
Should have led with that one.
God, that's so... Yeah, that fight, that whole fight is so badass. And then just, like, that move is so fucking dope. And then they finally win their battle against Whiplash by literally crossing the streams like in Ghostbusters. Cross the streams. You said crossing the streams was bad. Like, part of me almost would have been okay with Tony Stark reciting that dialogue from Ghostbusters. He said crossing the streams is bad. You're getting dangerous. The nice woman who paid us in advance before she turned into a dog. I think for me, again, like, obviously I cannot state anymore how much I love Robert Downey Jr. As Tony Stark,
yeah.
Iron Man, in these movies. So, like, obviously he's brilliant, like, and just wonderful throughout. I really do like that final fight scene with the droids before they take on Whiplash. And I guess, like, after that, like, his interactions with Romanoff,
mm-hmm.
are really funny too, especially after he finds out, like, that she's working with S.H.I.E.L.D.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Well, you're fired.
I'd say the droid scene and the entire boxing scene with Happy Hogan.
That was good.
First when Tony Stark is just beating the hell out of him, he's like, that's your boss. He's like, it's called MMA. It's been around for like a week. and then, of course, when Natasha gets in there and just fucking trounces him.
I slipped.
Yeah. What kills me too is, like, just occurred to me on the racetrack for the Grand Prix in Monaco, Happy Hogan is supposed to be Tony Stark's bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at no point does he ever draw a gun, which I can't think of a better time to draw a gun when the person who's trying to kill you and your boss is literally pinned between your car and a fucking wall. So, like, the odds are in your favor to pull off a headshot at essentially point-blank range right now, and all you can do is freak out.
But he did ram him, like, 3 times.
He did ram him 3 times.
That really probably should have done it.
I mean, what's the gunshot to car ramming ratio here? Like...
Well, I mean, Happy Hogan never even draws a gun in this movie.
Yeah, but, like, how many, like, times has a guy got hit? Like, somebody with a car to be like, yeah, you did all right.
I mean, it's
gunshot.
It, like, the first one is the only one that probably would have done a whole lot of damage.
Yeah,
because that was coming in hot,
mm-hmm.
and then every other time it was literally backed up, not even half a foot away, and then like how much speed can you really get behind you?
But what other movie have I seen that in where they're doing that?
Just ran on somebody with a car?
Yeah, or they're just backing up a short distance and repeatedly hitting.
Are you talking about Austin Powers?
I don't know.
Well, listeners, I guess it will be a mystery.
Yeah. Sorry, you can edit that out or something.
Nope. They're gonna know that Peter Brick brought up a really great question and that it's now lost to the sands of time or whatever.
This podcast was going really well, then Peter killed it.
Peter just shit the tub on it.
Hey, that happened as a chump. It's not funny.
All right, well,
Mom wouldn't come and get us out, so I had to shit in the tub.
All right, well, we're not going to top that song. Seems like a pretty natural point to wrap up.
We needed her to do it. We couldn't get out ourselves. I mean, we were physically capable, but emotionally unprepared such an endeavor.
Most people would have stopped. He's singing like a bird right now.
It's my stand-up.
Peter Brick singing like he's been under interrogation lights, answering all the questions that none of us asked, that none of us would have ever thought to ask, but Peter Brick got some tales to tell. We're going to wrap it up there, I think. Peter, Alex, thank you guys for coming on, doing the movie.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy to. It's been fun. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time when we tackle Thor. See you next time.
Thor!
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.